of Rabbi Leib Hyman Shlita on the Rosh Hashiva Zal.
The Talmud of mine.
Yeah, right. So he also encouraged me. The thing is, where were you before you came to Lakewood?
I'm from Baltimore.
What yeshiva?
We learned at the Talmudical Academy of Baltimore.
I see, okay. What did you know to come to Lakewood?
Let's put it this way, Rabbanan's name spread itself because of his kayak.
Okay.
It's a double portion. I mean, he was renowned.
Yeah.
And,
what year are we talking about? What year are we
what?
What year are we talking about? What?
When I left, I don't remember exactly if it was 48.
That's all right. Doesn't be exact.
It could be it was 48.
Uh-huh. You left to Baltimore.
I spent 1 year together with a few other chavarim in their Yisrael.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they left a beginning of an Elul Zman.
Mm-hmm.
I remained, I think, into the winter a few months.
Yeah.
Then I left also.
So who were they? Who were those?
That's Velvel Hoverman. He's Zeb Hoverman. He's
from
Lakewood.
Right.
And his cover is Ezra Novick.
Novick.
He's here in Eretz Yisrael.
He's
the earliest one who left. He was only in Lakewood maybe a little over a year or two, and then he came immediately to Eretz Yisrael.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Aysen Green.
Aysen Green?
Right. We're all from one group in Kovetskayim in Baltimore.
I did think somebody named Green here.
Jason Green. He's at Jason Talmud Kochum.
Does he live in Lakewood?
He learned in Lakewood.
Does he live here now?
No. He's in Eretz Yisrael.
Oh, okay.
He's been in Eretz Yisrael a long time.
I don't know him. The good thing you told me about.
They left in the beginning, I believe, in Elul Zman.
Yeah.
And then I left a little bit later in the winter's month.
Okay, so then...
They came to Lakewood. I heard they had gone to Lakewood, and I was alone from this particular group.
Yeah.
And so I decided I'll go also.
Okay.
The Rabbanan liked the boys who had been Talmidim and Kofetz Chaim, and he accepted me right away.
Did you come with a recommendation?
Yes, me. What?
Did you come with a recommendation of somebody?
I don't believe so.
Uh-huh. It just came.
I remember just going.
Yeah, and then...
I don't recall exactly what developed. I don't recall if he asked me anything. I'm not sure he did.
I mean, he came for hair or something?
Yeah, and he accepted me right away.
Oh, uh-huh, that's good.
Like the boys in Talmudical Academy. We had very good Rebbe. We had a Rebbe who was a Talmud of Rebbe. Baruch Be'er.
Who was that?
We had him for 4 years. Rabbi Yankov Bobrovsky, Zechatzadik Livrach.
I couldn't hear the name clearly.
Rabbi Yankov Bobrovsky.
Bobrovsky. Never heard that name before.
He was a Talmud Muvik of Rabbi Baruch Be'er.
Uh-huh.
He came to America, I think, in 41 or 42. He went...
So
we had him for 4 years straight as a Rebbe. He started with, I think we were just before Bar Mitzvah, until the end of graduation, uh-huh. 4 weeks.
So
he left a very good impression on our particular class. Aaron Feldman is one of these boys.
Which Aaron Feldman is?
Aaron Feldman is the Rosh Yeshiva today in Eretz Yisrael.
Uh-huh, okay.
He's the most outstanding bocher of that particular group.
Uh-huh.
He had the best home, so let's put it that way.
Had the best what?
I think when they're like a rove. The other fellas grew up on the streets. Good, they were Talmidim, but they didn't have such a home like Aaron had.
So now you came to Lakewood, so what was your first experience there that you remember?
I learned with Terp Schneier, Echtzalangi Yor.
And what about...
It was always very busy.
Who was very busy?
Reb Schneier, always because the Rishiva constantly called him.
Oh, he did. He was
Meshamish
him. He was Meshamish the Rishiva.
So he was always serving the Rishiva. The Rishiva needed things, this and that. There were no hand phones on all, you know, and even if there was, I mean.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He needed, I suppose, information constantly. And then afterwards, we couldn't continue.
We couldn't continue, you mean with Reb Schneier?
Also Reb Schneier.
Right.
Because I saw I wasn't learning.
Uh-huh.
That affected So, Bamela, I don't recall, I think then I learned with another fellow by the name of Small, Michal Small.
Small from Chicago.
He's the Rav today in Chicago.
Michal Small. Okay, I have to put him down.
His father was a Rav. I think his father was a Schwager to Moshe Feinstein.
I think he used to come here.
Some relation.
He used to come here, I think, once in a while, this Rav.
Who, Michal?
No, the father. I think the father used to come here.
When used to be the Shinesh, his father is no longer in Feinstein.
But I think like in the early 70s would be around.
No, that could be. That goes back more than 30 years.
He was a very old man at the time.
Huh?
He was a very old man. He used to speak.
He was a stout person.
Huh?
Yeah, he was stout.
Stout, I don't remember. No. Maybe somebody else from Chicago. No, somebody used to come from Chicago very elderly years and used to speak.
I don't know. Anyway, the other impression of Barton was the impression he made, first of all.
Yeah.
I never saw anything to criticize the person. He was so completely...
Uh-huh.
He was a complete Eved Hashem. I always tell people here, the Medrash Chazal, that...
yeah.
Where it says in the Torah, Avram, Yankiv.
Yeah.
So the Medrash says that the reason it's repeated a few times, one time is, Ein Lachador, Shein Bok Avram, Ein Lachador, Shein Bok Yankiv. Shein Bok Moshe, Shein Bok Shmuel. These are the four names that are repeated.
Where's this Medrash?
It's a Medrash Avinor, I think, by Avram the first time. I can always double-check it.
I just want a way to look.
In the Medrash, Medrash.
Medrash Rabba?
The Medrash Rabba, yeah.
So he said that...
He says, Ein Lachador, Shebo, like one of the Ovis, one of the Rabbeisav of Klal Yisrael, the Bishop was Mafti, after always be a Kiyum of Torah, a Kaliyutish, Hashem Esame. So in every Torah is somebody in a Dargit Kavyochel like the Ovis.
So that was...
Mamish, this is Mamish, a Tiyur, a description of Rabbarin, a Ratzalik Baruch. His degree of perfection and being steady day in and day out, and always with a good mutik, always warm to the Olam, and always active. His learning, he was always learning. I mean, I saw experiences with him when we used to go into New York with him.
Yeah.
During the dinner period.
Yeah.
We would have to call. I mean, right. There's Olam Ol Yisrael by the Gemara. Olam Ol, always. Alamo. And he would get the phone, he would speak to people, would answer people, and I saw him learning and listening. And I heard him also clearly saying to a person, while I saw him learning,
he said that to the other people.
He said it into the phone, means either the other guy might have felt he wasn't listening. I know for a fact he was learning.
So he could
his kaychas were unbelievable.
He could do two things at one time.
Definitely, without a question. There's no question about it. His mind was tremendously quick. Plus, he was the best politician of the generation, too.
Meaning what?
An excellent chess player.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah?
And any move that would be taken, he always took into consideration what's going to be the next, the third, and the fourth move.
Uh-huh.
What'll be. So he was always a step ahead of everybody. In every union. He was always a step ahead. He knew what would happen if he's going to do this or that. That's the expertise of a chess player.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he could play a couple people at the same time and beat them when he was a kid.
Uh-huh.
In fact, somebody once saw him in his house, talking playing with the Elter Reed.
Yeah.
I think Yoshiva and Lakewood playing chess.
Yeah.
As if forever this particular person went through the Chorban and the Shoah.
Yeah.
He needs a little bit menucha, and this is his menucha, so Rabbanan is playing with him in order to bring his menucha.
That was here in America.
This is here in Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn.
He had a tremendous kayak of being able to carry many, many different things at one time.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And the shiurim, one of the fellas once timed him with a stopwatch.
Yeah.
He's Pinya Grumman. He's a Rav in...
I know, from California.
Yeah.
His wife was just missed.
There's that watch. He says he can't believe it. He tried it twice. She says 11 words in a second.
Uh-huh.
And it's unbelievable. Most of the fellas, even in my time, they were having a good oilam, but when Chosh of a younger light. The Rav of Doylem could not meet halt with the Rabbanim.
Couldn't keep pace.
Even though the pshat is there was always, every time, 12 or 13 Maram Mekoy must have prepared to shear the Rambam, Shukonorak, the Rishenim, and everything. But the degree of the speed that he spoke with and everything. The Oilem at the time, these were Bokhar Mumasam, generally understood Yiddish. Some Taka didn't. Some fellas I know for a chaver who came a little after me, I once asked him, hey, Yankele, what's this do blib in the lake with the skins like this Veshtanen?
He
says, but after 3 months just listening to the Shiva, it's like you got an injection of Abbasdaira. That's it. And Baruch Hashem, his sons told me, the Chachamim, he lives here in the Eretz Israel. I mean, the impact that the Rishiva made on people was, is you saw that the Yerushim Kedem is the Chachmosei. It's not from a Goyen Olam talking. The Goyen Olam who lives what he talks is always coming to the Shir, always learning on it when he learned in his own, on his room. And he didn't just stand, sit, and look. He was active. You saw him learning, getting up, walking around and thinking. You saw the mind was always at work.
Yeah, I understand that, but where did he take such kaiches to do that, besides intellectual material?
I'll only tell you, like I told you before, every doyer, the Rebbeinu gives kaiches to a mensch, to a yochid, to a couple yechidim. Listen, the Rebbeinu finds shing v'neichet, I'm going to get goyen eilam. And a jayak, and the Baron used to send sometimes when there was problems that he, for whatever reason, when they went too far, he couldn't be misbeinen in a particular shayla that might have come up. He would send a younger man to Rebbeinu. I mean, he always dealt with Rebbeinu, and in every meeting, and the mice, every time when he did get together, I remember him and Yankov Kamenetsky, Rabbi and Alamo Gishtanen Emitten.
He was like the center.
To him, he was the center. He was the center. And he always was very firm. His success was pushing because he was always firm. And when he spoke with fire. He was Mamish, Aisha, Toyra, Mamish.
But he had a lot of opposition people, too, no?
But he overcame. He overcame J.B. Soloveitchik.
What did J.B. want from him?
J.B. was J.B. Lemaise. There was a brilliant genius without a question. But he went along with the generation. He didn't stand up and fight against it. Most of the conservative rabbis are his talmidim. Understand? In fact, in a Mele Orthodoxy at the time when Rabbanan came, had no position at all. If they had to join and be representative of the Jew in America, they had to join with conservative and the Reform.
But I remember, I mean, I'm not a direct Tom, but I used to listen to him, and he always was against, talked strongly against the conservative.
Who was against
the fair?
He was against conservative after Rabbanan made a gzeira against conservative.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He may have talked about conservative and maybe have talked against it, but he could speak to 2,000 boys and girls sitting together in an auditorium together.
I mean, he didn't fight for it.
He did not fight, and he wasn't a fighter. He was a genius. He was a genius in all fields, and he was overwhelming. A lot of people followed him. But it says, Das nicht. The Baron once said on him, he's a cancer for Klal Yisrael, Rachmanu Litzman. Ad kedei kach. Because I'm telling you, his presentation is overwhelming. But it's making peace with American with America with the old hashkof of America.
He was not the only
the
one.
Of America.
He was not the only one that tried to make peace. Was trying to live with America.
A lot of them did, but who could stand up against the tomb of America?
Right.
America gave you a sense of freedom. Friends of self-pride, and you're cocksure about everything, and the oil of Torah was, in a sense, contradicted. The whole concept of an oil Torah, to think without considering a future, just to undertake an oil Torah, nobody could do that. Nobody could.
It was
only Rabbanan was able to do that.
It was a heavenly Kayach.
without a question. I mean, you know, the Pasha Devisher gave him kaifis, and the man also, when he spoke, there were times when it shined as a gewaltig, there was like the beauty of a pure child on his face.
Uh-huh.
The famous picture of him speaking.
Right.
Mamish, you see the Schenkeit and the Edelkeit and the Ziskeit of a young child on his face. The purity, Mamish, of a kind.
They also spoke recently, I heard they were talking about him, somebody was very sharp about certain things. Even with Talmidim, he was very sharp. So they tried
to... In what sense?
Like if sometimes they would ask something not exactly, you know, they would ask a question and it wouldn't be...
It could be a charif. When it came to learning, Aber Ben Irom Lachmeir was not different.
Uh-huh.
In learning, Enoch and Amit, he called once a Balabas Eichet. The Balabas, the Yontif time. He used to come.
Yeah.
One of the famous Balabatim, he was a supporter of the Yeshiva Yichud. And he said, "You're doing it with Rabbanan." He said, "Pum paket." Rabbanan said, "It's all right, and I'm right." It's a famous Maise.
Yeah.
Well, Maise says in the beginning, "That's Balabai." He said, "That's the Araya." He said, "It's Barabim."
I know.
When he was burning with fire of the Torah, he cut down anything, anybody. Yeah.
But I heard after he retracted a little bit when he did that. After that, he said that to that Balabas.
Could be.
He felt they hurt him a little bit, so he tried to.
But there was no question that such a thing is remembered, and he was hurt.
Yeah.
Okay, no, but let's go to Chachdishal Teira, become Tishal Teira.
Yeah.
So, and the people only gained more respect from people.
Uh-huh.
But again, because he was a Omer v'Oise, he was Yerosek Kedemis l'Chokhmose, and Maisev Kedemis l'Chokhmose. Listen, he went, if you read it, you should get a hold of the book that Amos Bunim wrote.
Amos Bunim?
About his father.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh.
Read it, there's a couple, two thick chapters on Rabbanan Zatzal. What he suffered when he went, I think, to Washington once to see what was the guy's name. He was, I think, an Apicurus or maybe a Mummer.
Morgenstern.
Morgenstern, right. Yeah. Not Morgenstern. Is that the same? Is that
he was a government person.
A big man in the government.
I think
finances, they had to transfer money to China where the Mir Yeshiva was.
Uh-huh.
And they said, often get emphasis, and he didn't reserve any words. He said what he meant. And he told Mr. Bunim, "You go and tell him what I said to him."
Yeah.
And a Yiddish Alem is more important than his job.
Right.
And that guy gave in. He says, by him a Yid is more important. He doesn't deny it.
Uh-huh.
He, because people saw in him the memes. That's pshat together of Avram Be'ever Echad and Kol Olam Be'ever Sheni. He was able to talk, and they had such gvaltig kashas.
Do you remember a maisa? I don't know if it was in your time, but there was a maisa with some boys who were stuck in Europe, and he had to go to certain people to get them out.
Yeah, but that's a mafia guy. That's a famous maisa. Dershowitz knows the maisa.
But you don't know anything firsthand about it.
It's not first hand, it's what I heard.
Uh-huh.
But it's all, it's Pashit.
Mm-hmm.
The Rabbanan's impression that he made on people was overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
Overwhelming. Because for Zicha, a mensch is above everybody else, and a mensch is emes.
And that's...
That's the pshat, and that's why the Bokrim, were ready to give up everything for him.
Especially in those times. In those times, everybody had to go to college, or else, right?
Yeah. Better head, everybody went to college.
Uh-huh.
Listen, you can check it out, but Yankov Viestis, Weisberg,
not here anymore.
About a little over a year ago.
Right here.
When he came to Europe, to America.
Yeah.
He was going to college at the time.
Yeah.
And when they received Rabbanim, I think he came in from California to America.
Yeah.
He was one of the people who had listened to him.
Yeah.
Rabbanim said he came to build a Torah in America.
Uh-huh.
He was so overwhelmed, he stopped college that day and went to Rabbanim.
That's unbelievable.
I believe he's the one who really built up the office, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
He's a brilliant fellow and a Yulu Yisher Mensch, Yanko Weisberg.
I knew him, but I could never. I was never able to speak to him on this subject because by the time I woke up, he was not well.
Uh-huh.
was not well.
Well, his daughter, I think he has a couple sons there.
I know. I'm here. I used to speak to him a lot, but I never thought about this.
That's it, I'm telling you. He gave up immediately, and
like Alicia with Leonovi.
Right. Alicia, Baranskaya was, you can see him day in, day out, never a change. Always did a minyan in time. Every night he was about it. When he was in yeshiva, always he came to the Musar Seder. And every time he spoke, it was always exactly an hour. Always. He always said to Mamish, punkt. And he would come out sweating terribly. Mamish, always gewaked. Mamish, he would sit down. So if anybody asked him, he would listen. Sometimes you could see, but the man was washed out completely. And he would sit down in front of the Gemara, he'd rest a face a few minutes. If somebody came, he would answer. If not, in a face 5-10 minutes, he's learning again.
Mm-hmm. And this inspired...
Other than the... Nothing could take him away from his learning.
So this must have inspired the Talmud to do the emulate.
See, but I always give another dogma to that. You'll take a look in the Chumash. In three parshas, you find Avram Avinu, Lech Lecha Vayera, and Chayesora.
Yeah.
And he deals with people, with Melochim, and Parai, with Abimelech. He talks with Zorah, he talks with Eliezer, with Ephron, and he talks with the Rabbeinu Shlilim. And he has dealings with everybody.
Right.
So, but Abu Gata, Gleisha Kasha, between, you would think that since he's the biggest Machanek in the Rambam, it says, that the Sanefesh Asher also Bechoran was with Alofim or Avavis, who followed Avraham Avinu.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Lashon Rambam in the beginning of Milchus Avodah Zarah.
Yeah.
Alofim or Avavis.
Mm-hmm.
So the Pshat is his Koyach, his Koyach of Chinuch. Like the Pasuk says, Ki Yedati V'man Asher Yitzav Ezbonav Ezbeso Akarov.
Yeah.
And the only time you find the word Chinuch in the Torah, the Gavet, a Mechunach is only the Gavet Avram. Ayorakis Chanichov.
Right.
And Amela, he was the biggest Mechanach ever. And they're the biggest Mechanach ever, what man gemeint. And since the Torah says on him, and the Ebershter loves him, Ki Yedati V'man Asher Yitzav Ezbonav, he's a Mechanach. You would think, the Bunish advised me, V'yazeh Ataravei Gestalt HaYitzchok. How did he build up the Yitzchok? That Yitzchok should immediately accept to go to the Kedah.
Mm-hmm.
And check in the Torah, there's only 15 words between Avram and Yitzchok in the whole Torah.
That's right.
Nothing else. And where by the Akedah? Vayomer Yitzchok al Avram Avi, Vayomer Avi, Vayomer Neni Bini. You'll count the words. Yitzchok says 7 words.
Yeah.
Avram says 8 words. That's the whole Masu Mar.
That's right.
Between the two.
But a lot of things in the Torah that way, that they don't write down, it's not every detail.
I'm only asking the question from another point of view. Well, let's show, why does he show us the Chinuch? What brought him to it? If he's such a big Mechanech, give us some kind of a Epitha. Epitha them is Vietnam Moisgeboit. How did he bring him to such a Madrega?
The Velv says,
a long parsha about Eliezer and a long parsha about Ephron. A long parsha. You can't find a couple words. What did he do to make Yitzchok what he made him into?
Actions speak louder than words.
The tenets is you're using it in English expression. I'll tell you Lashon Chazal.
Yeah.
The answer is, G'day L'shimusha Yosemili.
Right, exactly.
And that's what the Rabbanin was.
Uh-huh.
Many, many could not follow the Shiurim. Many, many could not follow his Shmuasim. You understand? But you didn't need it.
Uh-huh. I'm
he
just watching it.
You.
Just watching it. Tell me, if somebody didn't start it off, you heard the first Shiurim, he's like bewildered, right? Somebody didn't. After a while, if you listened a lot, did you get into the track where you could follow it?
It's hard for me to speak about others.
I know, but what you notice?
Well, for me to say.
Uh-huh.
How can I tell you how others reacted? I just can tell you my time. Generally, after the Shiur, the base medish became empty.
That means that they didn't discuss it.
It wasn't absorbed.
Uh-huh.
Or it was too heavy, it was too much. Listen, there's a Dover Yadua, you can ask. The Amolik Ekletzker, I've said, Labor Rotkin told me this.
Yeah.
And Kletzker, the Shuish is safe for 2 hours.
Yeah.
An hour. And the Pratskal, Pratskal Levenstein.
Yeah.
He was a mashgiach,
right,
when he left. He left because of this reason. He held the Kenitsung as a long.
He couldn't keep concentration.
He came in mechanic. He was also a fester, man.
Yeah. I saw him too. I saw him once at Panovich many years ago. I didn't even know who he was. We went to Panovich for a Shabbos, and I was sitting in the base medrash with my friend, and this yid was walking around. He gave me a look, and I said, "Who's that yid?" So somebody told me, "That's the Pchasko." So yeah, he said, "That wasn't a human being, that was a Malach." That's my impression. But I never saw a Baron, really. So I was very impressed from Pchasko when I saw him, because I didn't know, nobody even told me who he was, but I said, he had a look of a Malach on him. But now when everybody describes a Baron, I said, that was even more.
Nobody would have been able to overcome the tumor of America like Rabbanan. Mm-hmm. Nobody.
But he understood it too. It not only overcame, he understood what it was. It's not like it was unaware.
Definitely, listen, I used to watch him how he read a paper.
Yeah.
He never sit down to hold the paper in his hand.
What paper would he read?
The Margashin.
Uh-huh, right.
Yiddish among them.
Yeah.
You look at the headline, take with his fingers, look at the headlines.
Yeah.
And push it aside, and that's all. Was Mashaib done is not on so fill in them daf.
He
will look at this and that, and then push it aside.
He absorbed everything what it said that we need to know.
Yeah, the Ibrikere to someone, Mamalit designed them daf.
Yeah. I understand that very well.
Fantastic. He was a fantastic person. With my Michigan benchment, I always say again, this is the good too.
Yeah.
Well, I'm machna nishar leflate that Corbin in Europe saved America.
Oh, I'm
like an anti-kepashe. You're kidding that came. I'm going out with America. Label Malin came. Mir Yeshiva came. These were all Yechidim. If my Grace mentioned what Grace Keshes, who made a tremendous mapecho, but the mapecho, Beroish, was her pattern.
He was the chief general, like you say.
In everything. The mensch was Farnumen Agansubach when he would spend the three or four days in New York. And many times, all the Inyonim that were Nikki and Klaisil, everybody turned to him.
We have a...
Everybody went to the Mesh. Shailas and Allah, it is a Boki B'chol HaTiru Kula Mamish. It's not Shayach.
Do you ever remember Rav Henkin coming to Lakewood?
And Rav Henkin, I don't remember.
Uh-huh. Somebody mentioned that to me.
I may have seen him maybe a few times.
You told me that the other day, but maybe he was there before you.
Maybe.
Yeah. Oh, what's his name? Ayakasha. I forgot his name.
Eisman?
No. It's, what was his name? Rabbi. I can't think of it off the top of my head. I could look it up.
I think it was after about 8 or 9 years that he put out a Xena. Chedem is honest to Mishtata Zayn with the...
Yeah, reform, they were conservative.
And eventually, one of the later dinners of the Chinuch Atzmoy, Jake B. was invited and he spoke about Rabar and Gewaldig.
You remember what he said?
Huh?
You remember what he said?
I read it in the Amos Buner's book. He has the complete lecture that he gave.
Because one of the things that they said, he mentioned, was that he compared Rabban to Rav Kiva Eger.
Yeah, listen, if they say it, then you can check it out.
Yeah, I just wanted to know if you recall that.
That I don't recall, because I didn't hear it.
Uh-huh.
Just read it, and you must get a hold of Amos Buna's book.
Fire or something, but fire, so fire in the soul?
Fire in his soul, right.
Yeah. See, I'm not a good reader. I don't read books at all. I haven't read a book since high school.
Does Inishkin Tedetz for a person who wants to know and write about her body?
Yeah, but I'm not a writer. I'm going to give my stuff to other people to write. I'm not going to write
but
anything.
You can read and find out what was said about
her. Yeah, I understand.
And if you have the original. That's
they also told me that I should read Mishnas Rabban.
Just basically, I don't know about Mishnas Rabbanan. What do you mean? That's to learn.
No, just to learn. Because what he wrote down there, they say that's really what he stood for, what's in there. Mishnah
but
Sabbah.
In the Sifrei Musar,
yeah, right, right. He wrote a few.
That's not what you want to bring out. You don't want to bring out his godless in that sense. That he,
No. See, I'm not bringing out anything. I'm just here to collect and record so people could hear what people said.
What's your first name?
My name? Eliyahu.
Eliyahu. Yeah. Listen, don't make nothing of yourself. You're doing a big job, and don't minimize it.
No, you know, it's a hard job. Yeah, very hard.
That's right. So that's it. Don't say you're not there, you know.
I'm doing something important, but I'm limiting myself on purpose not to get involved after the recording.
But you're making a point. The point is, there are certain things that it's important for you as a person who's dealing and questioning and recording to read things that are recorded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I'm telling you.
No.
You get a hold of the book and you'll see a couple of these big lectures. What others say, Gdalim, Gdalim say about it, that'll help you too.
Okay, I agree. I'm a balabas, really, and I work all day, and I devote time to this, and people criticize me for doing it, because they say, look, you could be learning. Why are you doing that for? I said, this is also learning. It's chekech kvaydim covered, right? So this is also something, but...
You don't have to find answers if the people who are telling you to go learn.
Yeah.
Shine.
Yeah, okay. But it's something I felt that I was here many years, just as going to the yeshiva, and I'm very attached to, you know, learning. And I used to listen to how the Mashgiach, I say, Rabbi Nosson Zal, used to come and make by the yard side and talk to the boys and tell them what Baron did in America and this is great. And I said to myself, those boys don't know what he's talking about. Of course, I went through that period. I lived through it. And it's mamish exactly what he said is 100% true. And I said, I got to go around, since that I was inspired to go around to many of Talmidim or even Askanim that had to do Rabban and let them say what they saw and felt over those years, and you'll look.
Good. Listen, Emilio, that's it. Let me just tell you another thing. And
yeah, okay.
The fact that he chose Reb Nosson
is
also his tremendous insight into people.
Uh-huh.
And in order to fulfill a position that Reb Aaron said he should undertake, he in a sense stopped learning.
Mm-hmm.
And he dedicated himself completely to the Bochrim.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget another thing. I believe that this is a insight into Reb Aaron, and that if not for Reb Nosson, a lot of American fellas would come, but have not been able to remain.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been too much for them.
Mm-hmm.
But Nosson was beginner a bridge.
Mm-hmm.
He would, in Yiddish you say, as a gemintet.
Mm-hmm.
He was machazik to
Ilum. Right.
And he was busy night and day. Come see me 1:00 in the morning, I'll talk to you.
Yeah.
And he was always in the Beis Medrash. A whole week he was away from his home.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because that's in the Beis Medrash, in the mornings in the Bebot Sidorim.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a lot of critics. A lot of people made nothing of him.
Okay, I remember that. I remember one thing I remember from him that remains with me, and I don't understand it till this day. He once called me for two things. Once he called me and he asked me to go to the Balabatim, you know, the people who are not learning in yeshiva at the time, and put something together that they should learn. So I went around to try to do it, so I was, like, ridiculed for doing it. So I stopped. But then another time he called me in, he says, somebody called me, he said, the Mashgiach wants to see you for something. So I figured he must have a list of names, and he's going down the list. So I came into Mashgiach, and he asked me like this, he says, Lance Musser? So I said, so I was a wise guy, I told him, I said, what is Musser? So he says, Musser is Mesil Tisharim, Shai Shuva, and Chayv Salvavis. So I said, that's what it is? Okay. I walked out. And what happened was, I sat down, I learned those from, and since then I'm learning them over and over again, because he told me to do that. So I asked other people, said, maybe, so I was under the impression that he went around, there were a whole bunch of people, and he said, do this, this. I never found anybody else we spoke to. But it worked. It worked. I don't know how he knew that I didn't learn Moshe, though. Because I was around all over in every part. But he said, you got to learn Moshe. I said, what is it? I don't know what it is. So he defined it to me.
You're American born, I take it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm 100% American born. I'm from Williamsburg, though. It's a different world, I found out later on. Because I used to, you know, when you're a kid, you don't know the outside world. Like, my mother came to America, she told me that when she was in school, public school, even in the East Side, she didn't know what a guy was. It was like she had no concept that there were goyim. She thought everybody was Jewish. So I brought up in Williamsburg, so I knew what a guy was, but it's like, you know, you see Hasidim and this. My father used to take me to rabbis. My father was a Litzvak. He came from the Mir. But he used to take me to every Rebbe, and to this day, I told people, you know, I saw this Rebbe, and this Rebbe, and this Rebbe, went to all these Tishin. But I still remain not that way. But
you're an only son?
No, I had an older brother who was Nifta young, and I have a sister. She's a little bit younger, 7 years younger than me, that's it. And, but...
I don't know how old you are.
I'm 64 and a half.
Yeah. Let me wish you at Slocke. I hope I've given you some information.
Okay, thank you very much. You're very kind, very kind. Very kind. I hope I could see you once at Yisrael. That's my friend. I told you, Shmuel Halbrun, he visits you when he comes at Yisrael, he told me.
Very seldom, though.
Yeah, I know. No, it's not everybody has time.
Quietly.
What?
He still lives in Lakewood?
No, he lives in New York, but he has a few children here and there.
Because he used to live, I think, across the street from the yeshiva.
Right, exactly, right. He still owns that house, but he lives in Bar Park.
Quiet, Ishmael.
What?
Quiet boy. He's a quiet boy.
A very nice person, though.
Yeah.
Extremely nice. Also, Chaim Lesser is with your Talmud, right?
Remember what?
Chaim Lesser?
Also.
Yeah, he's still here. But also was a good friendly with, he's not here anymore, Goldberg. Barry Goldberg.
Yeah, but that's it.
So, but...
I have a nephew there, Coleman Adams.
I know him too. I know him too, but I don't see him.
My nephew.
I don't see him. He's not here. He's not in this neighborhood anymore.
Uh-huh.
I live next to the yeshiva. Shmuel lived on 7th Street. I live on 6th Street.
No, he's a little further in. I think near 2nd or something.
Yeah, I don't see him around.
Okay, Leo.
Okay, call to...